at night. Many a moon come and shine a light. Taking her clothes off it, break.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. And today I have a very fun friend of mine who's been kind enough to come on and talk to me. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of cocktail journalism in France, what it's like to write about cocktails in France, and maybe get her take on, you know, she travels a lot. She's somebody who I'm fortunate to sometimes be on trips with as well, and maybe get an idea of, you know, what she thinks about French cocktails versus elsewhere. So we're just going to have a good little chat here. This is Aurélie Dubot, who is in the studio with me today. Hello, Aurélie. Thanks for coming.
Hi. Hi, Forrest. Thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about where you write, about your cocktail writing? I mean, I don't know if you write beyond Alambic, but maybe just give them a little introduction to yourself.
So I started writing a few years back when I was living in Malaysia for more like expats, drinkers, and also locals. And then it was by accident because I wasn't really drinking much at the time, because a girlfriend asked me to help her out. So I started going out. And the magazine really enjoyed it. So we made an activity out of it. And then I started my Instagram page. And then I came back to France in 2019, where I met with Sébastien Foulard, who owns Alambic magazine. And so I'm writing for him now. And thanks to that, I also get to travel, like you said, with you sometimes, which is fun, to explore the other bars around, which is really, like, I'm very lucky to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice perks of the occupation, is getting to go to these different places with fun people. You know, I have a lot of people ask me who are sort of the big journalists or writers that write about cocktails or cocktails and spirits in France. And my feeling is there's not really a lot of people who really focus on the cocktail side. What do you think about maybe the state of cocktail journalism in France? Is it bigger than I think, or are there just a few of us? What's your take?
Well, you know, I think cocktails actually in France are not that big. French people really do enjoy their wine, champagne, and beer. I think cocktails, they come last. I mean, I think. So, of course, obviously, you will not find many journalists there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. My take is that overall in France, wine is much more popular, even beer is much more popular, and champagne, and that cocktails, the way that they're drawing people in is more because it's a young, fashionable trend, not because it's kind of a tradition of drinking in France that's well established across all ages and all areas of France. So I agree that there's limited. Now, I think it's different maybe when you expand out into talking about writing about whiskey or talking about writing about rum, which are, you know, spirits that have a pretty strong grounding here for various reasons. But cocktail writers that are based here or French are few and far between, I think.
It's also about the offer. You don't have that many cocktail bars in France. I mean, in all the territory. Of course, you can find quite a few cocktail bars, but they will often have like the traditional cocktails like the Spritz, the Mojito, and you know, like the basic. I wouldn't say basic, but you know, they will not have like an extensive menu, so that's why also there's not much to say.
Yeah, and I think that that's also true when you know, we've got a pretty big concentration in Paris, but getting outside of Paris, it's harder and
Yeah.
harder. I know that other cities, Lyon has a pretty nice little group of cocktail bars, but it's not really that large. Same with any of the other cities, Marseille, Bordeaux, they have bars, but it's not extensive, I don't think. So that's definitely true. When you are looking for coverage on cocktails in France, what magazines or what sites do you think are really good references to find information about bars here? I mean, obviously, aside from Alembic, where you write, are there other go-to resources for you?
That's a good question.
I know, I'm thinking about that as well for myself.
not, I mean, I would go on the net, but there is not one reference that comes to mind, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I know I do. I think I might be one of the few who actually subscribes to the paper copy of Bar Mag. So I do like to see what they've got to say because, I know you know Laurence, who's up in Lille, who writes for them, and Anthony writes for them from time to time. So these are people I know who have good taste in cocktails. So I do look at that. There's the new, I think there's a new one, Bar News, that's online. And then I know, as I mentioned, there's other things that are more connected to specific spirits, like Whiskey Mag or Rum Porter. But it's those aren't really quite what I'm looking for, which is news on cocktails and cocktail bars in Paris. I mean, I think honestly, a lot of where I find my news is just on the ground talking to people or on social media. You look at, you've got the people you follow on Instagram, and then that's it. Or, I mean, tell me what you think about this too. Like, I feel like it wasn't, when I started writing about cocktails in Paris, I just had to get on the ground and find things. Now, I think that there's a lot more direction from press agencies, which I don't know if that's, good or bad. I mean, it's good because it calls our attention to things, but bad because it determines where we're looking as opposed to finding things on our own, if you know what I mean. What do you think about that?
I don't know what to say.
Oh, you know, I mean,
Well, I'm sure
yeah,
you can
no
edit
pressure,
later
no pressure.
about the is it a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good question.
I mean, I think it has
I
both
think it's a good
sides.
thing.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I think it's a good thing that we can shed some light on cocktail bars and that will encourage more bars to try new things as well. And it's also for them to see what's going on around because they are working a lot and they don't have that much free time. So I guess there it's also a lot for the industry
Yeah.
to look at what is happening around.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think, I am of the mind that sort of all boats rise with the tide. So if we're shining a bigger, if there's the opportunity made to be able to shine a bigger spotlight on cocktails and cocktail bars in France, hopefully that benefits even the small bars that are doing great cocktails that may not have access to press agencies to push them out, but hopefully it makes people more curious about their offerings and, still kind of somehow shines a spotlight on them as well. So when you're either here in France or when you're traveling, I mean, you write in French, so you're writing for a French audience or at least a French speaking audience, and you're
Both of
crafting,
them, actually.
what's that? Go on.
Both of them, actually. I mean, also sometimes write in English. Because it's online. So last time when I went to BCB, I got to interview American people in the industry, and because they you don't have that many guest shifts with American bars here, so it was my opportunity to reach out to these people. And so because the issue was more about them in their in America. Then I had to do it in English. It would make more sense. It depends on the topic.
Oh yeah, definitely. And fortunately for them, your English is excellent. So you could do it.
You.
But when you're writing, well, interviews are a different thing, but when you're writing articles, how do you go about, what's your kind of thought process about crafting stories around them? Because I kind of feel like you need a hook for an article. You can't just say I went into this bar and they served me some drinks. Like, I assume that,
Exactly.
you know, it's how do you go about sort of finding the story and the details around a bar? And I know that's a very vague and general question, so no pressure,
Well,
just kind of,
yeah, but yeah, it's so I will research beforehand the bar, the people, and what I did before. And then when I go there, I try to I take as much notes as I can. You know what? Lucky us bartenders like to talk usually.
Right.
And I like to share. And I get to, I try to bring back as much notes as I can. Then, inspiration is quite funny. You never know when it's going to strike, but I need some time. I need to do it in two times. So first of all, I will just write everything down, like sentences and bullet points, whatever. And then I need to sleep on it. And then the next day, it's quite a slow process, I don't know. But the next day or at some point, I will have like, it will all link up together. And then I will make something out of it. It's funny. The process is funny. And sometimes I will, like on the spot, I will be like, oh, that's it. The bartender will say something and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is it. Okay, this is the angle.
Yeah, I think that your process, I mean, I think many people probably have a similar process where you have to take all these puzzle pieces and kind of look at them and, not literally, but kind of spread them out all over the table and shuffle them around and find some sort of coherent structure and something that makes it more of a story with a grabbing point rather than just, here's a list of things that were done. So, and I can attest, I have been on trips with Orly and she is very good about taking notes and doing interviews and getting all of the details that needed, doing the work, not just having the fun, which, really is part of the point of those press trips. So,
Exactly.
It's not just fun times, it's work times too. You do get to travel to places, to other countries, to other cities. Do you see any broad stroke differences in the bar scene in Paris versus other large cities around the world that you've had the chance to visit?
Yeah,
Tell us
actually I
about some
do,
of those.
because I started drinking cocktails in Kuala Lumpur, and that's where I learned everything, basically. And over there in Asia, the hospitality is quite something. I could go out in a bar by myself, and I knew the bartenders, I knew the staff, and I was safe. I was feeling safe, no problem. I don't know, like in London, also the hospitality is really amazing. Now in Paris, it's not really the same thing. Like, if I mention, like, I would say not 50 best bars, so maybe smaller bars in terms of influence. If I go there by myself, they would find it very weird, especially if I sit at the bar, because they usually don't understand what's happening, because if they don't know me, then, well, it's quite confusing. So now I try not to go by myself because it's kind of weird.
I totally agree with that. I think that I feel comfortable, I'm kind of like old enough and like confident enough that I can go into a place alone, but I have no doubt that, if I'm in some place that I am not known at, they assume I'm maybe waiting for somebody else, or why would this woman, and I do think it's because we're women as well, why would this woman just be sitting in a bar on her own? Maybe I'm imagining that, but I really do have that, that feeling that that's kind of the thought process going on behind the bar if they don't know me. So I think that's very interesting. And also, I mean, it's crazy, the difference in the level of hospitality, in Asia versus here is quite extreme, I think. So I think that that makes a big difference.
True. Oh yeah. For me, when I came back, it was quite a shock.
Do you ever get the chance to travel more around France with any of your press trips?
In France, well,
I mean,
not
outside of
really,
Paris.
actually. I just travel. I on a personal level, yes, I travel, but so yeah, I will visit bars if I get to in the south of France for a holiday or something. But yeah, I went to Marseille, I went to a few places. But it wasn't, it was just me, like it was a personal trip.
Yeah, and I think that, maybe I think that there, from my understanding, is there may be also sort of less organized trips like that within France, than happen maybe in other countries in Europe. I think other
Yeah,
certain
true.
countries are very strong on doing these kind of organized trips, like Italy or Spain, the UK as
Yeah,
well. So I think that
true.
maybe France feels like maybe they don't need to, they don't need to bring people in.
Yeah,
I
because
don't
also,
know.
that it's also because we have so many tourists that we don't really need to go outside of what we're already doing.
Yeah.
We are maybe lazy in that sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know. No
Maybe cut
comment.
that
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if it's
out.
lazy or if it's just, maybe thinking where things are great here and, people should know. I don't know what it is, but do you have any, when you go into bars, either here or elsewhere, what kind of criteria are you looking for a bar that makes a great bar? Like what makes you think I want to write about this place? Is it just the drinks, the ambiance, some kind of story behind it? What are your criteria that you look for in bars?
Well, it's a good question. It's not only about the cocktails, of course. It's about everything. Like I said, the hospitality, and if I'm having a good time or not. And it's not about like drinking completely like crazy cocktails, creativity, blah, blah. No. Because in France, especially, if at least you get a balanced cocktail, it's
Right.
already like you're quite happy about it. I mean, when I'm talking about like going to like a random brasserie or something like that, I mean, we already know like the few places that are usually having like amazing cocktail menu, and we usually go back there. But yeah, if you just go a little bit outside of these few bars, you never know what you're gonna have. And it's about, yeah, it's about everything. The location, the people, the everything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think personally, well, if I want something that's perfectly made, a perfectly made martini, I can pretty much do that at home. I mean, to make something exactly the way I want to make it.
Exactly.
So I do think that there's a lot more to the experience, that people aren't just going out for drinking reasons. So yeah, I agree. There's a lot more that goes to the criteria for me personally as well. Do you have any, I don't really love asking people their favorite bars in Paris, because that's always a challenging question for me as well when people ask me. And of course, it's a question I get asked all the time, and I do have favorites, but it depends on my mood and what I'm doing. What are the bars
Exactly.
that you're currently going to a lot? And you don't have to say they're the best or your favorite ever, but what
You
like your
know, yeah. It's so first of all, I would like to say I really miss White, which was in
Oh,
Pigalle.
somebody
And
just mentioned that to me. They were like, "What was that great bar that had absinthe?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, Lulu White, but it's closed now." And they were so sad.
yeah,
Anyway, I agree. Go on.
because
Sorry.
you don't have that many bars where you will have like perfectly balanced cocktails with a great ambiance, and where
Yeah.
you can talk to everybody around and nothing bad is going to happen. Like I mentioned earlier, in France we have more this cultural thing of going to a bar, sitting with your friends, and that's it. But as opposed to, for example, in the UK, where you have this pub culture where you can stand, have your beer, and talk, chit chat with your neighbors, and then everything's fine. Here we don't have that. So when I approach, like, I mean, the only people I talk to usually are tourists because they are just happy to have a chat. And so I miss type of places where you can have that, you know, with a great cocktail in hand. So now for that, I go to Dirty Dick, which
Great
is in
choice.
Pigalle. Yeah, because I don't know, I really like this bar. They it's a tiki bar. So you know what you're gonna get. They're always, I mean, whoever is behind the bar, you know, the drinks are always great. And you have a bit of show. I was there for my birthday, actually. So you will have a bit of fire. You have, I don't know. And you can, you know, you can chat with people. It's fine. And, you know, we have to hurry about going to our favorite places because the after COVID effect, we will see, I think, a few changes in the scenery. For example, 5050 was a bar that I enjoyed as well. It's closing down. So yeah, a few places will change.
Yeah, I heard they
after
were
bars.
closing. Go on.
Yeah. Castle Club is in the on the left bank. It's actually a very cool place. What else? Oh, Danico, obviously. Danico, they're always like, I listened to your podcast with Nico. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan of the brand and Nico, and what they are doing is quite amazing. What else? Well, Candelaria is always nice. I mean, yeah, we have quite a few places that are making great drinks, huh?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I
What
mean,
else?
I know that list is not exhustive, so I know that those are
Yeah.
just, yeah,
Oh,
I
there
mean,
is
like,
one whiskey. The whiskey one that I like is Sherry Butt as well.
oh, Sherry Butt's great. Copper Bay
Yeah.
also, we love those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, we bemoan the fact that most of France doesn't drink cocktails, but we do have some of the our top choices are really excellent choices with great people behind the bars and a lot of talent.
Yeah.
So that is
True.
something that is a good
Yeah.
takeaway.
They are holding the industry, you know. There are not that many people holding the cocktail bar scene.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I think it's a small but strong group of people in Paris that are kind of presenting us to the world, onto the world's cocktail stage.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. What's his name already? Oh, there is Classique. I love
Oh,
Classique.
Classique, yeah. And Sister Midnight
In
right next door.
Sister Midnight, and also the one, what's his name already? Rémi Savage.
Oh, Bar Nouveau. Yeah, that's lovely.
Bar Nouveau. I
Yeah.
love their, oh, never mind. I forgot the name of the cocktail. But it's, I will go back where I found my favorite cocktail. I will go back for that one, you know, every time. Anyway,
Yeah. And speaking of
I'm
classic,
quite boring.
I'm assuming you've been, but have you been out to Mesure from the bar with from
Yeah.
Guillaume, who used to be at
Yeah.
Classique, which is what made me think of it. And they're doing some really nice things
Yes.
there too.
True.
Okay. Well, I think the listeners have a lot of bar suggestions from that conversation, and
Yeah.
I'll put the names in the show notes so people can go and work through some of the bars that you mentioned, and you know, they can also follow you on Instagram because, like I said, that list is not exhaustive,
Yeah.
and you do a nice job of documenting things on Instagram. So I'll put the link to your account in the show
Thank you.
notes. But maybe you could just say it as well for people who are listening. It's Cocktails in Paris, right?
Yes,
Your
true.
Instagram handle, yeah. So take a look for Orly there, and I'll put the link to her Instagram in the show notes. And we're getting to the end of our half hour, and I know you've brought not one, but two recipes for the listeners, and I am very excited because the classic one is a recipe. It's a cocktail I like a lot. So would you like to share your recipes with the listeners?
Well, yeah. So I am a big fan of the Paloma, which is, you know, a cocktail that I like to drink. I mean, any time of the day of the year. So Paloma, you have to drink a good tequila. So usually it's it's 45 ml tequila, and then 15 or 20, I think, lime juice, and then grapefruit soda. But if you don't have a good grapefruit soda, I have another recipe which is quite mysterious because someone gave it to me, told me it was a fake Paloma. But then when I asked around, I heard it was called maybe Red Pigeon, but I couldn't find anything on the net. I'm not sure which bar made it up, so it's well, I will be happy if someone knows where it's coming from. But anyway, you need 5 ml of Campari, 45 ml tequila, 17.5 ml lime juice, then 15 ml sugar syrup, and then soda water. So when you don't have grapefruit soda or good one, you can use that recipe, which is quite, I think, you know, it's good to have a plan B for a good Paloma.
Absolutely. And
or
I don't even
Paloma
know,
or whatever it's called.
I'll do some research on that too, to see if I can find any other information about it, but I will put the recipe in the show notes, and maybe when the episode goes up, somebody will hear and report back to us. Yeah,
that would
because
be nice.
I do think it's not always easy to find grapefruit soda here. So at least a grapefruit soda that I really like. So it's nice to have this backup. Sometimes I end up using just grapefruit juice and some sparkling water, but
yeah, but I don't like that.
I know.
So that's why I like this as well. Yeah.
No. Well, I will be giving your alternate Paloma a try and trying to figure out what the name
Yes,
is, if it's
please.
Red Pigeon or something else. So before we sign off, is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners about you or your work as a journalist on Cocktails in Paris?
Just that I'm very lucky to be able to do that as a hobby, that I got to meet like amazing people here and there everywhere, which is really amazing. And yeah, that's it. Well, thank you very much for listening.
Aw, thanks so much for talking to me, and hopefully I'll see you soon, maybe for a drink somewhere in Paris. And
yes, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. I've got some research I need to do. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I've got some list of places. We'll talk about that later offline. But
okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. And I will put links to Instagram, Alambic, the other things we've talked about in the show notes, so the listeners can make sure they follow along and get more information. And with
perfect.
That,
Thank you very much.
I think that we are at the end of our half hour. So I will just say thank you to my guest today. Thank you to World Radio Paris for editing and production. And thank you to you listeners for tuning in or downloading or however you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what we're doing, I invite you to please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And of course, as usual, I remind you to please drink responsibly. And until next time, cheers.
Shiver by